Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Podcast. I'm Maddie Plough. I'm joined by Nick Watts in the studio, and we've also got Brendan Duke and Tom Nugent from Paddy Power joining us as well. Welcome, one and all. Before we kick off, good weekend, Wattsy. How did you enjoy the royal wedding?
Yeah, it was good. It would have been better if the Queen had had a winner on Saturday, because I took a price at the start of the season that she would.
As we mentioned last Monday, I think.
Yeah, Michael Bell had Sailing Home entered in two mains on Saturday, so I was really excited about that during the week. But come Thursday in declaration time, there was no sign of Sailing Home in either race. I was dashed. But it was a good weekend all round, yeah.
OK. Brendan, what about you?
Yes, very enjoyable weekend. Thanks, Maddie. I was at a barbecue on Saturday, and I was at a truncated card in Nace yesterday.
There was lots going on at Nace yesterday, wasn't there? Some really eye-catching performances. Anything particular that you want to talk about?
Oh, well, I mean, probably I don't want to ruin it too early, but, I mean, the Sioux Nation, Paddy Power are wisely keeping him on side for the Commonwealth Cup, but, I mean, he's just going to take an awful lot of beat. That was savage performance yesterday.
And the horse that I'm going to struggle to pronounce as well, Sergei Provokiev, he was pretty good as well, wasn't he?
Yes, I had this debate on another show during the week. I think it's Sergei, as the meerkat would say. Associate is called Sergei, so we'll give it to him. And Prokofiev,
there we go. Right.
Who is he, Brendan? Who's Sergei Prokofiev? You surely have done some research on this.
I haven't done any research. If there's ever a quiz question and it says, what opera and Sergei Prokofiev, just guess Peter and the Wolf, because it's always Peter and the Wolf as far as I can see. That's about the depth of my knowledge on it, though.
Ballytoyle did have a lull with their horse names, didn't they? We had Was and Up a few years ago, but they've gone back to the really good ones now. Sergei Prokofiev just sounds really grand, doesn't it? So they've obviously had a new lease of life, and they're coming up with some cracking horse names.
I'm just being told in my ear he's a Soviet composer. So there we go. Anyway, Tom, good weekend for you.
Yeah, not too bad, Maddie, thanks. I was in Nace as well yesterday. Didn't have the pleasure of crossing paths with Mr. Duke, sadly. But great day out, and took it easy for the rest of the weekend just to arrive back into the office bright and breezy this morning.
Nicely done. Well, we'll crack on with the postcast then. Looking back at the weekend action in just a moment, but first let's look ahead to next weekend. We've got on Saturday the Irish 2000 Guineas at the Curragh. Do you have any betting on this one for us, Tom?
Yeah, Gustav Klimt tops the market at 2-1 at the moment. LRCAM next in at 9-4. Imaging 7-1. US Navy Flag alongside at 7s as well. Zeba 8-1. Expert Eye is 12s alongside Saxon Warrior, who is probably not going to run, and neither is Roaring Lion. So it's 16-1 bar those.
Okay, and obviously lots of Guineas also runs in this. Gustav Klimt, there were horses. LRCAM was fourth, for instance. Massar third. I don't know if he's going to run, but he was entered as well. Gustav Klimt sixth. What makes you think he's going to turn the form around and win here?
I'm not 100% certain. I didn't price up the market now, but I fancied LRCAM more so than Gustav Klimt. LRCAM at 9-4, he caught my eye more so finishing up the rail in Newmarket the last day. You'd imagine that Gustav Klimt had the run, obviously, before Newmarket the last day, and maybe gave his all. I didn't hear any feedback whether they thought he didn't get a fair run of things, but LRCAM, that was LRCAM's first run of the season. You'd imagine he'd improve from Newmarket to the Curragh, and at 9-4, he'd be the one for me at the moment, anyway.
Excellent. Brendan Duke.
I would concur with Tom. I'm surprised he's not favoured. I can sort of understand from the odds compiler's point of view, it's an Aidan O'Brien benefit, the Irish Guineas, so make Aidan O'Brien favourite. But I saw LRCAM in the parade ring in Newmarket, and he's particularly deep of girth. Now, he's obviously that type of horse and what have you. And I'm not saying he wasn't fit. He would have been ready to go. But I'd say he will come on more than you would expect most Mark Johnson horses to come on for the run. He was a little bit keen early. He was a little bit messed around in the dip. He came unbalanced. But he really stuck it out well to finish fourth, Roaring Lion fifth. I mean, there was nothing really between the second and fifth behind the winner. And I think he should be favoured on Saturday. And he's blue all over odds checkers, so I assume he's going to run. And I think that 9-4 is fair.
Okay, so we're all in agreement then that we're not Gustav Klimt fans. What's the Aidan O'Brien? 7 of the last 10.
Yeah, as Brendan said, that's probably the reason behind him being a favourite. I mean, we had a similar debate last week, didn't we, about Give and Take and Highgarden and Musidora. We didn't understand why.
That was a rare one where we were right on that occasion.
Exactly. We were right with that one where the market got it the wrong way around, and for no apparent reason they thought Highgarden would reverse the form. And, you know, it's a similar scenario here. Elikam, you know, first time out in the Guineas, finished fourth. That's a really good run. Gustav Klimt had the benefit of a run but could only finish sixth. Slightly disappointing, I think. Roaring Lions kind of upheld the form. I'm sure we'll talk about him later. He was sandwiched in between them in fifth. But Elikam, it should be market leader for me. Sea of Blue across odds checker today tends to suggest he's going to go and show up there. And he'd be the one I'd be betting on.
Excellent. All in agreement then. That's pretty rare. Moving on to Sunday in the Irish 1,000 guineas. Now, Aidan O'Brien, four of the last 10. So not as prolific in the fillies equivalent. Take it away, Tom.
Yeah, we are happily at the top of the market at 6-4. Soliloquy next in at 4-1. Clemmy fives. Who's Steph? 7-1. Chiara Luna tens alongside Lightning Quick and Magical, and it's 12-1 bar.
Okay, Brendan, I'll give you the first say this time around.
Well, happily would be hard to beat. I mean, given the way he tends to campaign as fillies again, you'd say she'd come on plenty for a perfectly good run in Newmarket, just at the price. She's 7-4. There's a filly lurking in there, Chiara Luna. Again, I was in Leopardstown for her Guineas trial, and she was almost certainly the best filly in that race on the day. She had a horrific trip. Everything went wrong. And given it was her seasonal comeback and only the second run of her life, I would be shocked.
Is she the one that's out of Princess Highway? Am I getting my...
Correct. Ribblesdale
Ribblesdale won it. Yeah, sorry. Carry on.
Yeah, well, I mean, you'd be shocked going forward. I would be shocked if she isn't the best filly in that race. I'd be surprised if she doesn't turn the form around with Who's Steph on Sunday. And 10-1 each way against the Fav. I think that's a fair bet, actually.
Okay. In agreement, Watson?
Yeah, I couldn't have put any better myself. If you'd come to me first, I would have said pretty much, you know, identical to what Brendan said. Couldn't have been much more eye-catching last time out. Finished, you know, on the heels of the leaders in fourth without ever kind of getting a clear run. But, it was a very good effort and happily does set the standard. You know, obviously, Guineas form, from Newmarket coming in again. But at 10-1, I'd be very, very keen to have a crack at Chiara Luna each way, particularly as Aidan O'Brien's come out and said he'd be happy if Clemmy could just finish in the first five. Mm. So that tends to suggest the vibes for her are that she'll come on hugely for this run. So again, it's kind of another one you don't have to worry about. And as long as we, you know, and get Chiara Luna in the frame, which I think she should, then 10-1's more than reasonable.
Coronation stakes for Clemmy after this, is it?
Well, quite possibly, but she's going to be one of Aidan's that just comes forward, you know, from run to run, and she's been a bit, you know, she hasn't been quite right. He said that recently, hasn't he? So I wouldn't over-expect on Sunday, but just, you know, if she runs a nice race and finishes off well, then I'm sure she'll come back to her best later on.
Okay, Tom, you're going to make it another 3 out of 3?
I'm really depressingly on a retrieval mission here. I got absolutely roasted in Newmarket back and happily to win the Guineas over there, and I'm kind of just out to get it back here in the Curragh Honour again. I think she'll improve, and I really can't see her beaten. She's a dual Group 1 winner, and I'm a big fan of her, and I'm sadly really, really depressingly gone back to try and get all my money back.
Mm. Well, the Lagardère form's been franked, and obviously I don't think many people could moan at you if you not picked out Billiston Brook at that massive price. Moving on now, the rest of the Curragh, we've got Defoe running in the Tattersalls Gold Cup and also the Ridgewood Pearl Stakes on the Saturday. I don't think we've got any betting for these at this stage, but any strong opinions, Tom, I'll get to you first.
Not particularly. If I was to give you an opinion on anything else, one of the price in the 2,000 guineas, Romanized for Ken Conn, was second to Massar in the Solario Stakes as a two-year-old, and put up a decent performance that day. Now, he was disappointing in the Tetrack Stakes on his first run this season, but if he does show up in the Curragh, he's a big price of 25-1 at the moment, and surely something at a price will run into the frame. So I'd be back in Romanize each way if I knew he was a certain runner, of which I'm not certain at the moment. But hopefully somebody in the media might be able to confirm for me during the week.
Yeah, hopefully that'll be the case. Watsy, I've had my eye on this Defoe for the Arc, maybe. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I wouldn't put you off. Started the season in style, hasn't he? So, yeah, you know, it's so far so good with him.
Treverian loves a Irish foray as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I haven't got any huge... I think Brendan will have more for this than myself. But, you know, my main one for the weekend, apart from... is the two Guineas ones already mentioned. So I'm happy with those two. I'm sure Brendan can add and put some meat on the bone.
Go on then, Brendan. We're relying on you now.
I know the pressure, and unfortunately, I haven't got a whole lot to add. It doesn't look a particularly strong race. It's quite surprising that Poet's Word is going for the race on Thursday as opposed to this Group One option, because he'd certainly have a chance over 10 furlongs against Defoe, Cliffs of Moher, and Hydrangea. Of those three, I know Defoe ideally wants further, but I think he's the best horse of the three, so I'd go for him. I don't think there's going to be any other runners of significance in the race.
OK, we'll start to cover Haydock on Saturday after this short break.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Monday Postcast. Now, Watsy, you're very excited about the return of Batash, aren't you? Showed me your poster that you're making for the RFO.
Yeah, that could actually be coming out on the weekend of this week now, but we won't give the game away. We'll wait to see if it gets the light of day. But I think everyone who's a racing fan should be excited by Batash coming back, because apart from at York last season, he was electric, wasn't he? He looked fantastic in Paris. And, you know, if this doesn't get you going as a racing fan, then nothing will, because, I mean, he's just so fast. And it's lovely to see thoroughbreds, that, you know, these kind of horses who you only come along rarely, just can blitz rivals with their speed. And didn't they have some kind of breathing procedure between last season and this season? Am I correct in that? And
not so, too sure. Maybe on the other lads will know.
Yeah, but... He just had the one blip last season at York, didn't he, when things didn't go his way.
And he worked up beforehand, didn't he?
He is always on the edge, this horse, but I think sprinters always will be, particularly one as fast as him. If he's just had another year to relax and calm down a little bit, I think he is really a sight to behold. And I'm not really interested in the market or the betting for this race, or if he goes odds on or anything like that. I just want to watch him, see him win well and show that speed that we all enjoy. And, you know, he's a real good advertisement for the game. That's what we should be enjoying, you know?
Yeah, that's the beauty of it as well. Different distances, obviously, but I was having a conversation with someone. Batash v Harry Angel, who do you think's the better horse?
That's a really tricky one. That is very hard.
Don't like to give you easy questions.
No, I mean, I was, you know, Harry Angel, he was only workmanlike last week, but, you know, he's still beating Brando first time up, you know, when he's traditionally been vulnerable in the past. So, you know... He didn't do much wrong for me. It's just, it's weird, his Ascot record, isn't it? That the only track he's ever been beaten at is Ascot. But he never runs badly enough there to suggest he hates the track. He just doesn't get the job done for whatever reason. So if the clash happens, we talk about these clashes a lot and they fail to materialise or one side doesn't turn up. That if they both did in the top of their form, it'd be a race to savour.
Mm. Before I ask you for the betting, Tom, any strong opinion on who's better, Batash or Harry Angel?
Probably Harry Angel for me. Isn't he officially the best sprinter in the world at the moment?
He's £2 better than Batash on handicap ratings.
It's always just easier to row in behind the professionals, isn't it? But no strong opinion betting-wise at the moment. Batash at even money. I'm not into backing short prices in sprints. One for me at a price if he runs Mab's Cross at 20-1. Winner of the Palace House, of course. His last six runs have been five victories in a second. He's obviously a horse on the up and up, and he could go close at a price, Mab's Cross.
That second's been franked by Mrs. Gallagher as well. Any other horses or just those two in the race?
Batash is even money. Catchy 6-1, Dreamfield 10s, Muthmere 10-1 as well, alongside Declaration of Peace, Takeover 14s, alongside Havana, Grey, Washington, DC 16s, Mab's Cross, Actress, and Different League 20s, and 25-1 bar.
Thank you very much. Brendan, any thoughts on this race, or are you just going to be like Watson and watching Batash?
Well, I probably will leave him alone at the price, because he is a nervy sort of a horse, and you're always concerned taking a short price bet that type. But 80% of the time they got it right last year. I know the Time boys lost their minds over Catchy and Chester. He seems to be particularly effective for him. And maybe if he was getting £5 from Batash in Chester, you might be able to make a case from at that price. But I mean, if the real Batash shows up, that Ave, there's certain times like a Razzie or Zenyatta, there's certain races you watch and you're just glad you're not watching them on your own, because you need someone to turn around and say, did you see that? I mean, what the hell just happened there? That was a sensational performance. I think the commentator said he slaughtered them. I mean, there were some huge runs last year, but there was hardly a huger run than that. And hopefully he's able to reproduce it on Saturday.
That's a really nice little thing there. I agree with that. You need someone with you to watch these races. Before all that, though, on Thursday, Sandown, of course, hosts their best evening meeting of the season. It's going to be live on ITV4. Do we have any betting on any of these races yet, Tom?
Yeah, Henry II and the Brigadier Gerard. So which would you like first?
We'll go for the Henry II.
Right, a Weekender is our 11-4 favourite. Mount Moriah 9-2 next in. Magic Circle 5-1 alongside Sheikh Zayed Road and Withhold. Red Verdant 8-1. Montali 17-2 alongside Time to Study and 12-1 bar those.
Beautiful. Now, Big Orange, of course, won this before winning the Ascot Gold Cup last year. What's the any horses potentially on your radar for the Royal Meeting?
Well, I mean, in this race, Magic Circle, you know, he obviously won the Chester Cup very easily. I think he's long been a horse that was capable of running in group races, particularly over a trip. The thing that would worry me is I'd like to see a bit of ease in the ground for him. I think it's going to be quite quick at Sandown on Thursday. Not quite sure he'd appreciate that. So that's kind of swaying me towards Weekender, who's another different type of horse, but he's a real up-and-comer. He won really well at Chelmsford recently, over a mile and six. New trip here for him, but he saw it out well last time, so I don't see why he shouldn't this time. I think he's the right favourite. I do like Magic Circle, and I was on him for the Chester Cup, so I've got a bit of a soft spot for him, but I just would like to see a bit more ease in the ground, so I think that sways me behind John Gosden's horse.
Okay, conditions the main thing here for you then. Brendan?
Yeah, so despite some massively impressive handicap winner stepping into group company, I thought the favourite was hard to get away from. He was just so impressive, and he got disqualified, granted, in Ascot. He was so impressive the last day. He's only had 7 runs. I've never seen him in the flesh, but certainly on the telly, he looks a big unit. And you'd expect him to step up plenty this year. The extra 2 furlongs should help, and I thought he'd be hard to beat.
We've said numerous times on these podcasts, these Frankles, they just keep galloping. Tom, anything to add?
I liked Magic Circle as well. I thought he did it very well in Chester, and his racing post rating would give him a fair squeak in this, whilst his official rating might not. I wouldn't have as much of a concern as Nick there on quickish ground. He's only ran on good to firm once at Ascot, albeit didn't run that well, but can handle good. And is it going to be good to firm there? Have you had very dry weather, have you?
Yeah, it's been pretty dry, hasn't it, recently? I don't know if there's any more dew, but I think... Yeah,
maybe if it's an extreme, it would come into play, but I'd be a little bit more forgiving than Nick. I think he would handle good, decent ground, and I like Magic Circle at 5-1.
Brilliant. Brigadier Gerard betting?
We'll see how fast the iPhone can work here. Yeah, Poet's Word is 11-10 favourite. Fabricate 9-2. Almodovar is 11-2. Larabe 13-2. Algometer is 10-1 alongside Success Days, and that's 12-1 bar.
Quite an open race, Watsy.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it sounds boring, but I'd stick with the favourite on this one, Poet's Word. You know, we saw it the weekend with Crystal Ocean, how good Stout is with these older horses. And Poet's Word's one of those that he's improved. And, you know, a good season last year. Arguably, he might be a little bit better at a mile and a half, but he still had some really good mile and two performances from last season. Second in the Irish Champion, second behind Cracksman. That's good. Best of the rest, if you like. I think he might just have a bit too much for these.
He was unlucky when he was out in Hong Kong as well, running an eye-catching race that day. Brendan?
Yes, I thought it was very hard to get away from the favourite. Perhaps, ideally, he wants a little bit further these days, but he's such a talented horse. He's no penalties to deal with. I'm interested in that Larab of the Burroughs horse. I think he'll do very well this year, but he's going to have to dig out some amount of improvement to catch up with Poet's Word at this stage. So, Poet's Word for me.
I think Sir Michael Stouts won 9 runnings at this race. Tom, can you get another one?
Larabe was the one that stuck out for me, but to Brendan's point, possibly more of a watching brief. Ran well in that, was it Rosa Lancaster or something behind Frankus at the end of last season. This is the first run of the year. I think he might be turned into a decent horse, but a watching brief for me.
Okay, excellent. We'll reevaluate the Derby and Oaks picture just after this.
check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet the next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Monday Postcast. We're going to talk about Epsom now and the derby fast approaching. Roaring Lion, he's given John Gosden a bit of a headache now. Apparently the trainer's leaning towards running him in the derby, but he was awesome in the Dante, wasn't he, Watsy?
Yeah, really impressed with him. He's a horse I've liked all season. I thought he ran a good race in the Guineas. He put in a positive performance there after a slightly kind of tactical lacklustre return. And Gosden said he'd improve going up to mile and two, and he's exactly right. He's running all over them. My worry about Roaring Lion isn't so much the trip, because I think he's got a good chance of getting it. It's more the fact that the last two runs he's hung left-handed quite markedly. He ended up on his own at Newmarket, and then last time, although he had the race won at the time, again he veered over to the left slightly. That camber at Epsom up the home straight, it shoves you into the rail very easily if you're kind of not quite on an even keel. And you know, you could think so if things got desperate, like in the final couple of furlongs and he was coming up the centre of the track, or even just a couple of horse widths off, you could easily see him diving towards that rail. That would be more of a concern for me. But the other interesting thing I took from that York race was Zabriskie finishing third, Aidan O'Brien's horse. I think he's a big price to finish in the frame that day. I think he's well down the pecking order at Ballydoll, I'm sure he is.
He couldn't even win the Epsom trial at the track, could he?
Exactly. So for me, it was kind of advantage Aidan O'Brien again, because he's been using these trials. He's had Hunting Horn run well in one, Kew Gardens run well in one. He had Zabriskie run well there. It's really good markers for him to see where he stands. And I'm sure he was, you know, watching the race. And, you know, wherever Zabriskie is, Saxon Warrior would be a fair way ahead of him, you would think. So as good as Roaring Lion was, the camber and the fact that Saxon Warrior's, you've got a couple of verdicts over him already, I still think Aidan O'Brien's got the best ace to play, definitely.
We'll move over to our Irish contingent now, who are most surely in favour of Saxon Warrior. Can anything get near him, Brendan?
Oh, I think so. I mean, there is a doubt about stamina. Oh, there's definitely a doubt about stamina. I mean, he's understanding, he's a wonderful temperament, the horse. He relaxes so well in his races that he's going to give himself every chance of staying. But he looks like a miler, he travels like a miler, and if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, and you're asked to take 4 to 6 about him staying 12 furlongs, I would definitely take him on with something. Like Nick, I was impressed, possible not to be impressed, with Roaring Lion. I was just thinking, don't all the horses kind of veer a little bit left towards the line in York? Is it just something to do with the way that track goes? They always seem to just go a little bit left. So I was surprised at how straight he ran. He seems to be growing up. But I thought maybe at a price I'd take a chance on Massar. It looks like the Apple wants to run him. And why not? I mean, he ran a perfectly good race in the Guineas, was pretty strong at the line. There's definitely elements in his pedigree that suggest a mile and a half will be a help to him. I think if you go back a couple of generations, you'll find Urban C. You could often have another horse bred along similar lines, that beautiful romance. He's a stayer. I think you can definitely make a case for Massar staying 14-1 each way against the Fav. That would appeal to me.
Although he won the Craven, he won it in the style of a stayer, didn't he? Really, really strong at the line. So he's perhaps interest. Tom, now can we have some Derby betting?
You can indeed. Saxon Warrior is our 4-6 favourite at the moment. Roaring Lion is next in at 6-1. Young Rascal 12-1. Ellercam 14s alongside Night to Behold and Massar 16-1. The Pentagon, Delano Roosevelt and Hazapur, and it's 25-1 bar those.
Can he be beaten?
Can he be beaten? Of course he can be beaten. There's no such thing as a certainty in racing. Will he be beaten? I wouldn't think so, no. I'm surprised to hear Brendan knocking the doubt over stamina. What distance did Deep Impact win over, Brendan?
At least a mile seven.
It's just physically. He's got a massive big backside on him. I prefer, maybe I'm an old traditionalist, I prefer my middle distance horses to be more
lengthy. Yeah. But there's not too many racing post winners at two that get a mile well at two that can stay at least 10, if not 12. I wouldn't be as concerned about stamina for him. In terms of getting him beat, I'd be cagey enough. I'd be waiting until the betting without market comes out. Maybe Hazipur for Dermot Weld was good the other day. There's been plenty of decent horses to come out during the week. Knight to Behold is a decent chance as well. I'm waffling really to try and find a beat. I just can't really see past them, and I'm already looking forward to getting up to the Ledger.
Okay, another horse we've mentioned, Roaring Lion. Although John Gosden's leaning towards running in the Derby, but another horse who may not run in the Oaks is Give and Take, the Musadora winner. She looks to be going to the Priest and Allery next. Who knows what's going to happen with her? Watsy, were you impressed with her?
Yeah, I was. I just find, the Derby's quite clear cut for me, but I find the Oaks quite a little bit of a mess at the moment. And, happily, Aidan O'Brien's runner at the weekend isn't going to go for the Oaks because the Irish Guinness comes too close to it this year. So he's going to go with Magical and a couple of others. Magical would be interesting for me at the prices. She's double figures, and she's not quite as good as Happily as a two-year-old, but she wasn't far off her in the Moyglare, and she's had the comeback run in France. So, if she comes forward from that, as I'm sure she will, then she would be a player. But it's a bit kind of all over the place for me at the moment, the Oaks market, and there's nothing kind of saying that I must back this, must back that. I'm a little bit kind of still bemused by it all at the moment. I need more time. Come back to me next week.
Time. Okay, I'm sure we will. Tom, can you reel off the prices for us?
Yeah, Lati Dar is our 9-4 favourite. Wild Illusion next in at 7-1. Sea of Class, 8s, Bye Baby, 10-1. Magic Wand, 11s, Magical 12s, alongside Forever Together, and it's 14-1 bar.
Okay, what do you make of it, Tom?
A bit like Nick, wouldn't have a massively rock solid opinion at the moment. If I had to have a bet, I'd be backing probably Magic Wand. Probably. I liked that that race in Chester, and I thought Forever Together is a better filly than she showed on the day as well. But if you had to put the gun to my head now at the moment, I'd back Magic Wand 11-1.
Okay, Brendan, and you?
Oh, I'm like Nick. It's a mystery wrapped in a riddle to me. I mean, I think the top two want easier ground. Now, granted, they're in the right place because, I mean, they do a great job with the turf in Epsom, because all they can do to stop it turning into Bath is water the track, and it is at its easiest on the Friday. So they might get away with it. Aidan hasn't got a runner at single figures. I mean, the whole race just looks wrong to me. There was a filly won a Salisbury Maiden. She won by 12 lengths. I was so impressed with her, and I was thinking, oh, could you put her up at a price? And then I think she's put Salisbury Maiden. The horse in third is rated 70, so I couldn't put her up. So I'm afraid
of
that.
And the name of her?
Sun something. She's related.
Sun Maiden, 16-1.
Sun Maiden, 16-1. She's related to, she's a full sister at Midday. I think she's a full sister at Midday. But she was hugely impressed. But I've got zero insight, Paddy. Sorry, it's just a baffling race to me.
You're not the only one. It is pretty baffling. Something that might be a little bit less baffling, Lockage winner Rhododendron, of course, she's been run over so many different trips. She got her head in front from Lightning Spear on Saturday. What would you do with her? What's the Queen Anne, Prince of Wales?
I'm not sure. I just highlighted again what a brilliant trainer Aidan O'Brien is. I mean, I didn't really have her down as... I thought she'd prefer longer trips these days, but, he's got no record in Lockinge either. His last winner was Hawkwing way back when, a long time ago. I actually fancied his other one, Lancaster Bomber, over Rhododendron at the weekend, and he ran his normal, game race, but he just doesn't win, does he? But, Rhododendron, she surprised me a little bit, but she obviously saw it out really well, as she was going to, because she does stay over further. As for future plans... It's hard to say, isn't it? I'd imagine the Queen Anne, a strongly run mile, seemed to suit her there. But, I mean, she's got options, hasn't she? She could go up, or stay at a mile. So, wait and see on that one. But hats off to Aidan O'Brien. He's, pulled another rabbit out of the hat there.
I feel like there's some quite open divisions, and he's just thinking, which horse can I field into the different gaps? Brendan, which race would you go for with Rhododendron?
Oh, I'd say she's a certainty to go for the Queen Anne. It's just based on the fact that I think she probably is better over 10 furlongs, but she's not going to run into Cracksman in the Queen Anne, is she? And it looks a fairly ordinary division this year. So I would just do everything I could to keep her away from Cracksman. It's a stiff mile in Ascot. She's going to go there as the favourite to win the race. I'll be shocked if she doesn't show up there.
Okay, Tom, I heard you humming, nodding in agreement.
Yeah, I would say there's very little doubt that she... that she won't go for the Queen Anne. She got a quote for she's 3-1 favourite now for the Queen Anne with us from sevens after the race. Looking down through some of the names that are just in that anti-post market, Libervito, Ben Battle, Thundersnow, Lightning Spear is next in, Lancaster Bomber, Lord Glitters, Yoshida, Hesham. Like, she is the probably the best horse out of them at the moment anyway. Probably a bit of a recency bias there as well. You could argue Thundersnow maybe, but I'd say she'll definitely go to the Queen Anne. She'll go very close as well.
Okay, brilliant. Over the weekend, did we make any additions to our Racing Post trackers? Tom, I'll start with you this time.
Yeah, I've loads. Riazan, who came second there the other day, he is an Aga Khan horse for Milk Halford. He came second yesterday. I'm waffling here because I'm trying to wait for my phone to work to try and get it up. He came second to Brother Bear, in that Owenstown listed race. He was very, very eye-catching. That was his first run back, and he'd be a winner next time, in my opinion. I'd forgive So Perfect, who came fourth in the listed fillies race in Nace yesterday. She was the favourite. She was well touted beforehand. She was waiting to get a run, and the gap came, and she was a little bit babyish, threw her head around and didn't quite go through it. She picked up again and just to go on again towards the line at the finish, but I'd forgive her. Gallaglass won the Limerick Bumper quite well yesterday. He's one to keep an eye on in her hurdling next winter. The Equiano horse in Doncaster on Saturday, I can't remember the name, but
Equilateral.
Very, 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 very good. For Charlie Hills.
Cut price. Have you got any on him?
I haven't got it to hand. I'll dig it out when you're talking to the other lads.
Sorry, I'm being a bit cruel to you.
And the last one is Sia Class. Thought she was very, very good as well. They're obviously the two kind of very obvious ones because they're winners, but the real one to take out of it was Riazan for me.
Okay. Sia Class, do you fancy her in the Oaks?
She definitely has a chance. She has a chance. And they were very, very effusive. Was it Maureen Haggis was interviewed after the race? She was very, very effusive after the race, delighted with her. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of shapes the market make closer to the time.
Okay, Brendan?
Yeah, I'm just going to steal some of Tom's and throw them in my tracker. I only have one. I mean, the Sioux Nation, I was just blown away by Sioux Nation. That move he made a furlong and a half down. Obviously he's already won at Royal Ascot, so he loved the track, but I mean he just put that race to bed in about 3 or 4 strides. And then of course it was a trials meeting, so you want to learn something at a trials meeting, and say what they learned was he doesn't want to be in front that long, because he started to wander out. His value for so much more than the winning distance. Powers are 5-1 for the Commonwealth Cup. I think that's too big, but there's even bigger out there. He would look like the bet of the meeting at Ascot for me at the moment.
Quite a few Commonwealth Cup clues this weekend, so it's a good job we'll get the market from Tom shortly. What's your tracker horse?
Yeah, I had one from Newbury on Friday. It won a handicap, John Gosden horse called First 11, who's a Frankel half-brother to Kingman. And he was clueless in the first kind of couple of runs of his career. I remember watching him at Sandown in his maiden. And he didn't know what to do, basically. He was very, very backward. And Gosden got him in this handicap off a mark of 77, I think, which he duly hosed up. And he beat a horse in second who was placed behind Rostropovich at Chester prior to that. So the form stacks up. Now, he's going to get a decent rise for this, but I'd be amazed if he didn't have more in the tank. So First 11, I'd recommend everyone putting their tracker, because he seems to have got the hang of the game now, so he could go a long way.
Beautifully bred, as you said. Tom, have you got it yet?
Yeah. I was waiting for you there. Sioux Nation, 5-1 favourite at the moment. Invincible Army next in sevens. Heartache, 8-1. US Navy Flag is 10s alongside James Garfield. Different League is 12s. And Equilateral is 12s as well. I think that could be an absolute all-Ireland price each way. Equilateral at 12-1.
Okay. Finally, any thoughts on that, Brendan? Just want to elaborate now you know the prices.
I think 5-1 is a perfectly fair price. I don't think he'd be going off the colour of it, and I think he'll win.
What's he?
The boys have said it all, yeah. They're very confident. So, I did watch that Sioux Nation race yesterday, and as Brendan said, he was very impressive and previous winner at the meeting last year. So, he's got a big chance. Should be a very exciting race.
He's
yeah.
some looking horse, lads. Brendan, you saw him in the ring yesterday. He's an absolute beast of a horse, isn't he? He's massive.
Absolute beast, Tom. It's rare you can see where 2.1 million went. If I had 2.2, I'd probably have bought him myself. A magnificent specimen he is.
Well, that leaves us on a really nice closing point for today. If you enjoy listening to the podcast, please rate, review and subscribe to them on iTunes. And of course, we'll be back on Friday for the tipping podcast. Don't forget to join us then.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.